I had to get to a place of, Aisha, remember, before any record deal, before any touring, before all of this, Aisha, remember, I gave you these songs. I gave you this voice. I gave you these abilities and talent, and just move in that.
Between the Grooves is hosted by James Curtis, music director and morning man in the Greater Toronto Area on Joy Radio, and Aisha Woods, Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, and musician. Together, they talk with artists and industry insiders to discover our connection between music and faith. You can connect with us on Facebook or X at Between Grooves and on Instagram at Between Grooves Pod. Now, here's James and Aisha.
Welcome to Between the Grooves. Little different today.
Different is cool.
Different is cool. This is a host episode. This is where Aisha and I chat about anything and everything. And and one of the things I thought it'd be good to chat about, because we had some feedback a few weeks ago on one of our artist advice comments, or one of the people offering some artist advice at the end of the episode. And and it was talking about finding your own voice. And I thought it'd be good to maybe chat a little bit about that. From my standpoint, a radio guy, I mean, every radio guy's got their own voice anyways, but we're only talking, right? So I think
well,
people are...
Well, some. Yeah. You have skills. You got some harmonizing skills, so you know.
We got to do more of that. We got to do more of that. We got a lot of hits at Christmas time with that.
For sure.
The finding your own voice, interesting, because I'm saying that all I do is talk. And if there's one thing that drives me nuts is when a singer or an artist talks during a song, like in the middle of a song.
Really?
Yeah. That
no way.
Drives me nuts.
So that's like a pet peeve of yours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Like they're singing a song and then maybe it's one of the verses where there's obviously a melody to what they're singing, but they decide they're just going to talk those words instead. Drives me nuts. It's like, come on, just sing. We want to hear you sing. We don't want to hear you talk, you know?
That's an interesting pet peeve. And what's funny about it is there are some artists, I'm not going to call any names, but probably the entire globe is familiar. One in particular that has basically built their entire career or ministry around that in particular. And, you know, they're known for basically talking
right
in their songs.
I went to a church.
That's funny.
I went to a church way back when, and the lead pastor of the church, his position was if somebody was performing a song, you know, during the offering or whenever in the service, sing, don't talk. He didn't want the singer going up there and giving the history and the song.
Starting
and
preach
a message or why I wrote the song and this is why it's so meaningful to me. Like, just sing the song, you know?
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know. He wouldn't have me at his,
But it's different
at
if
any
you're
of his services.
But if you're there doing ministry and it's part of the bigger scope. I'm talking about one person just going up there to sing one song and the talking is more than the song. You know, the song is three or four minutes, but they're talking for 5 minutes before it, telling us about this song, you know? And it's the same thing for me when I'm, you know, as a music director at a radio station, I've had in the past where people will send me music and I haven't even listened to the music and they want me to hear the story behind the song. And I really...
You're like, oh,
with,
I don't care.
With respect, I don't care about the story behind the song until I hear the song, you know? Let the song make
speak for
me...
itself.
Well, speak for itself or make me want to hear the story behind it.
That's awesome. Please say that again. That's so interesting. Because,
I forgot what I said already, so say it again.
It's interesting because as an artist that has produced music and released music and a lot of music over the years, one thing that has always been important to us has been the story behind the song. And we've always made it a point to have that available. But like you said.
But available versus the prelude.
Yes.
Right? Let's hear the song first.
Right.
Is my position. I'd like to hear the song, and if it's catchy or if it's got great lyrics or there's just something about it, it's like, I really need to find out more about that song. You can't.
More about it.
Yeah,
sure.
I don't think you should be shoving the story behind the song, shoving it down people's throat or in their ears when they don't necessarily want to hear it. Let's hear the song first, right? Let the song speak for itself. And then if it's inspiring enough, if it's an amazing song, well, it's like, I want to hear the story behind it. Instead of promoting your song as, well, here's the story, and this is the reason why you should play the song, because it's got a great story behind it. Man, no, it doesn't work that way, you know? Not radio, you know? Like, it might be a great story, but I don't have time to read three paragraphs why this song should be played on the radio. I'd like to hear the first 15 seconds of the song, and then I'll gauge if it's going to be played
and
on the radio.
See if it pulls you in.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. So
that's so important. Oh, that's good. That's good stuff.
But for you as an artist, how do you find, and I know it's a broad question, how do you find your sound? Because everybody has a different sound or a different style, a different way of presenting their music. And, you know, some people have got that throaty, raw sound. People, it's funny when you watch these, sing-song competitions.
Like the reality shows.
The reality type shows where they're competing for a spot in the top 10 or whatever else. And you hear some of them in the auditions where they're talking like we're talking right now, and then they sing, but they don't sound anything like...
They sound completely different.
And I can remember when I got into radio, I remember I applied at a college to get into the radio program. And one of the qualifications to apply is you had to write a commercial, and you had to perform this commercial, perform this spot. You had to read this spot.
Okay.
Now, I misinterpreted what they were looking for. So I actually went ahead and recorded it and everything. Well, no, I just recorded it. So I had it, and this was back in the days of cassette tape. So I recorded on cassette, and I was ready to hand this thing to the guy. And I remember when I went in for my interview, you know, whether I'm going to get into the program or not, the guy says, no, I don't want to listen to the cassette. I want you to read this live in front of me right now. And it's like, I didn't know that. And of course, I'm not going to do it now, but what I started doing was I started reading like I would think a radio guy would sound like. You know, I wanted to sound professional stuff, but it wasn't my voice.
You put a radio voice on to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. And so when you're in radio, the key is not to, like, how many times have I gone out for lunch or a coffee with friends or something, and they'll come up to me and say, James, put on your radio voice. It's like,
that's funny.
But I don't have a radio voice. I try to talk naturally.
Voice.
Yeah, this is my voice. Now, the key when in radio, and this isn't a radio podcast or anything like that, but the key in radio is you need to smile. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing, especially for a morning show.
They can hear your smile.
Right, they can hear the smile. And the other thing for me anyways is because it's a morning show, I want to sound excited. So I will definitely use the inflections in my voice. But that's not a radio voice. That's just me smiling and using inflections to entice you to listen, right?
Yeah, sure.
It's not a radio voice.
Your personality. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So when it comes to singing now, how do you not mimic somebody? You know, you admire the style of, say, a Michael W. Smith or a Chris Tomlin or a Toby Mac or whatever. How do you not mimic them if that's the style of music that you like? How do you, as they say in these award shows, how do you make it your own?
I think... For me, I had to get to a place of fully accepting my uniqueness And early, very early on, when I wasn't familiar with all of these different top roster Christian artists, when I didn't know anybody, I only knew what it was that God was giving me. And I sang it, I wrote it. And so when you get in the industry and you get around, you get in these circles and people try and categorize you.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you sound like this, or this is your particular genre. You gotta be okay with your uniqueness and how God gave it to you. And for me, it was a struggle for a while because being on a record label, they were not sure early on where they should market me.
Oh, I see. And yeah. So, as far as what style of Christian radio to play you on, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying you didn't have that struggle when you were just performing. Like you got discovered by Toby Mac's label, and they obviously discovered you based on you being you.
Exactly.
And then when you signed on the label, now they're trying to put you in a box and say, well, this is the style of music that we would cater, you know, your style of music to. This is this, you know, the radio stations we would send your music to or wherever.
Right.
And
right.
So that's when it became a struggle for you, is what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely. And I had to get to a place of just, Aisha, remember before any record deal, before any touring, before any studio recordings, and before all of this, Aisha, remember, I gave you these songs. I gave you this voice. I gave you these abilities and talent, and just move in that, you know?
So was it not only the voice, but also the style of music?
Yes, because if you listen to my projects over the years, there are multiple genres represented on each project. You know, we've got reggae, we've got rock, we've got pop, we've got country. And, I mean, it's just who I am. I can't be put in a box and just pigeonholed to one particular genre, you know? And it's different for everybody, but that's how it is for me, at least.
Does your voice change, or have you found your voice change based on the style of music? Like if you were asked to sing a country song, as an example, and I'm thinking the twang and the whatever else.
Twang.
Yeah. Would your voice change based on that style of music?
Maybe not my voice, but enunciation and dialect. You know, I'll probably, for some words, find myself having a more southern accent.
Right.
Which is another thing that boggles me. You'll have artists from the UK or from Asia or, you know, other parts of the world, you'll have a conversation with them and their accent is as authentic as it can possibly be. And then you put a microphone in front of them and they start singing and all of a sudden, here's this American accent. Yeah. It's like, that's a gift. That's a true gift.
I don't know if I would say American accent, but I'm thinking back. We had a few weeks ago, we had Lindy, which is the Swedish group. The siblings, and they're fairly young, and they were talking about
Sweden.
That's right. And they were talking about how they write music in English, and they want to make sure they have the right lyrics, and they want to make sure they have they're using the right words. Maybe there's better words for it.
So they
have somebody helping them through that, because obviously that's not their mother tongue. And when they perform, you can't hear their Swedish accent.
You can't.
It sounds, I don't want to say American. It sounds English, but not Britain English, but it sounds like North American English, right?
Sure.
But how about actors who, they're from the UK, they're from Britain or whatever.
Amazing.
And they've got these accents, but then they're in these movies, and it's like, I didn't even know they were English. I didn't even know they were from England. That sort of thing, you know?
Right.
That's got to take a lot of talent.
Oh, shoot, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think it's a real gift. I remember because I'm coming up early on in Bermuda. It's not a Caribbean island, but it has
it's
very
Caribbean
strong
enough for
Caribbean
me. It's
influence.
Caribbean enough for me. It's warm, it's hot, it's beautiful. Absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah.
But we listen to Caribbean music coming up. So reggae was always being played. Soca music was always being played. And I loved it. I still do. I love it. But I remember touring, and we had some dates down in the Caribbean. And I was with Papa San. You remember Papa San?
Yeah.
So he goes to... he starts having a conversation in the van, and one of the runners was taking us to the venue. He goes off in patois, and I'm like, I don't know what in the world this man is saying.
Right.
Just completely foreign.
Yeah.
And here I am, you know, on some of my projects doing reggae music, but not anything close to what I was hearing in the van.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you definitely have to be careful to not lean on the cheesy side. Because you have those artists that, I'm going to do a reggae cut. And then it's, you know... you probably should have just left that alone and not even tried to do that. Or folks that will try and cut a country song and just trying too hard.
Right.
It leans on cheesy.
So. I've always said that I can recall one artist who's a country artist, and he was inquiring of me as to why I didn't play his music on the radio. And we're a CCM sound, more of a hip-hop, pop type sound, and it just didn't fit. And so what I had suggested to him is, why don't you have a crossover song that you can release to radio, and at least that gets you the exposure if that's your reason why you want to get airplay, right? Having said that, though, I think artists generally should stick by their genres. You know, if you're a country artist, you're country through and through, and you know that, and you've found your place. You know what I'm saying? But if you're a pop artist, don't try to be the country artist. I think the one-off crossover is fine, you know, just to have some fun. I know of one artist who will go on stage, and as an example, will go on stage in the middle of the summer and throw in a Christmas song just because they're known for that Christmas song, right? It's like,
gotcha.
Nothing wrong with that, but it's a one-off, and it's not their entire concert isn't a Christmas concert.
No.
It's just the one song.
No.
And it's the same thing with the style of music, right? If it's just a one song and it's just a fun song that you did for a specific reason like that, there's nothing wrong with it. But finding your voice, you got to know what your style is, you know, what your songs sound like. And maybe it's not the artist that performs in front of a bunch of screaming and yelling teens maybe it's right. Maybe it's a worship song that's sung in church.
That's it.
You know, and I think sometimes we have aspirations or ideas of what we think we should be doing versus what we need to be doing.
Right, right. Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
No, that just sounded really deep for some reason, and I can't understand why I would even say something like that. Hey, let's change gears for a bit. Aisha, have you got time to chat for a little bit longer here?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to ever turn down some time to chat a little extra time with you.
Sure. I appreciate that. Music and the internet.
Don't get me started.
Things have changed. The landscape has changed over the last few years. It's funny because my kids, all they've known is the internet, right? But before the internet, I mean, music was defined by what you heard on the radio, what the labels were promoting, big artists and they're well known and they're getting recognized. You see them on TV and whatnot. And when you get the internet coming into play, things change a lot, has changed a lot. Listening habits have changed. I think what we're seeing a lot of, as well as these niche markets, these niche musical styles that you wouldn't necessarily previously have heard on the radio or have had pushed by a label. What are your thoughts?
Well, for one, you said label. I've got a question. What is that?
Well, I mean, traditionally a record. Yeah, traditionally a record label was the means to get your music out, and they did part of the work. Obviously, they pushed your music, they promoted you,
absolutely,
and, right. And you still have that.
Facetious.
I know. You still have that, but now you've got you've almost got a la carte labels that will do that. And they will do what you want them to do. So you can, you know, pick everything, check everything off on the list, or just have them do certain things. And you'll also find that they're promoting less established artists or artists that are kind of a different genre than you're used to listening to.
For sure. Absolutely. And I say that just as candid as possible, but we are in the age where just inundated with content. I mean, you think about the attention span, our kids, it's like that of a gnat, and there's music, they're being introduced to music constantly. There's a new artist so many seconds, it seems like, you know, so you don't even have time to sit with the artistry, you know? You don't have time to sit and really enjoy and appreciate an artist long enough to...
to know their stuff.
It's like just when it's getting kind of good, up pops another artist. Yeah. That we're being introduced to another sound, another genre of, you know, and it's like, how do we keep up?
Right.
And this is 2024. I'm like, what's it going to look like in 2030? It's like this now.
True enough. I see once in a while, I'll see comments on the socials, where it's a Christian artist and they're not an artist that's recognized or that they're covered by a label. They're on their own. They're independent. And they will complain about the fact that their music isn't being played on the radio. and it's a Christian artist. And I look at that and say, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you don't need your music to be played on the radio. Typically, if your song is being played on the radio, in any genre for that matter, it's because you've got enough of a following or you've got enough fans to justify it.
Right.
If there was, if there's money to be made, you know, through a label or, you know, seeing that music evolve into a radio format, even if it's specialty or being on playlists and whatnot, then people are going to do it. So the fact that they're complaining that they're not being played on the radio, but they're getting a lot of streams, that's good. Maybe at some point the number of streams for that style of music would justify having a radio format, as an example,
right,
or having a label that just, you know, pushes that style or that type of music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely comes down to songs at this point. And that's another thing that has changed drastically, because maybe 10, 15 years ago, it was the album.
That's right.
Know? Oh,
that's
such
right.
and such is dropping an album in the fall, and you looked forward to this entire project. And you may have released every few months
off
leading
of that
up
album.
To, yes.
That's right.
But now it's, listen, it's all about songs and...
It's singles and
yes,
and that singles are coming out and without even a thought of putting it on an album, I guess,
mm-hmm.
unless you've got enough mm-hmm. music to justify it, just to come out with an album. But you don't need that to get your music out,
right? And another thing that I've realized is, even if you don't produce maybe a 5 or 6 song EP, if you've got a song that's trending and hot enough, you can work that song for months and months and tour and play shows and keep busy just from that one song, you know?
Sure, as long as the audience doesn't get tired of it, right?
Right.
Because like you said,
their attention span.
That's right. So you always have to be fresh. It's funny you mentioned that, because how many times in the last, even in the last 2, 3, maybe 5 years where, and I'm speaking of the CCM community, because that's the music uh-huh. I play on the radio. And that's,
for sure.
That's the, you know, the genre that I'm in charge of at the radio station. How many times a song gets released for radio airplay and it starts to get traction, and now all of a sudden a remix of the same song comes out, or the same song featuring this artist is joining
yes.
them, or this yes. is the hip hop version or whatever, you know?
Right. And or the song in Spanish.
The song in Spanish, or
that's kind of trending too right now.
Yeah. And so I find that to be almost, I appreciate it, but I find it a little frustrating, because it's, you know, what am I going to do? Replace the song? I'm not going to play the song twice as much, you know, one of each version.
Right.
But do I want to replace the song every time they come up with a new version of it? Not necessarily. I can see how when people are streaming it, they might want to listen to different styles. But don't forget,
right.
when you're hearing a song on the radio, it's usually a shorter version of what you would hear on streaming services anyways.
Sure. Yeah, that radio edit is often very different from an album cut.
Right. So I just find that a little frustrating when the label, in this particular case, when a label's releasing all these different versions of the song, it's like, how long are you going to milk this song for, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, here's something interesting. Because of course we're in the age of information and technology. What are your thoughts on the whole AI thing and the music industry? I want to tell you something that a producer told me recently. Apparently, you can't submit anything to the Grammy Association if the recording has like AI generated vocals. Have you heard any of the AI generated vocals?
I haven't. Well, I probably have and didn't realize it. I'll say that. I'm a little concerned. I can understand that would be a rule. I don't know mm-hmm. how they would necessarily manage that. I mean, are they able to tell? So I am a little concerned about the fact that, you know, artists themselves could be mimicked or copied, where they could, you know, their voice taken and sampled. You've seen sampling for years anyways, but where they actually
sure.
take it and have AI write the song, perform the song, and everything else.
Oh, mercy.
I mean, that is a concern. I'm not saying it wouldn't all necessarily be bad, but I think there needs to be some rules governing it a little bit more. I've heard of radio stations using AI. So instead of having a live announcer on there, they'll use AI. There's a couple of radio stations, full-time radio stations in Nashville that have already done that. You know, it would sound like
these are people's jobs.
It's not just
for
that.
Goodness
it's
sake.
Not just that. I mean, it's, you can't tell me that people don't notice in that particular case, right?
I don't know. I mean, they're becoming so human-like, and they're sounding. Some of the stuff that I've heard, like you can go on YouTube and pull up AI generated vocals, mm-hmm. and they will they'll choose a very well-known pop star, and you can put that effect on a vocal, and you almost cannot tell the difference. So it's a little scary if you ask me. I'm like, good gracious, are we going to have, you know, the next Christian band called Robot?
Right. Yeah. I don't have a problem with creativity, but I do have a problem with a computer doing all the work. And
right.
That goes with Photoshop as well, right? If you're going to take an image and you're going to Photoshop it, that's not really real anymore, you know?
Right.
How many images do we see online every day that's an AI created image or Photoshopped to make them look good?
It's just completely just fake.
Yeah. And so, and then you know,
but fake, but real at the same time.
Sure. But it's based on, it's based on something, right? It's, you know, if you get AI to write a song, well, it's taking the data from somewhere. So it's taking existing songs out there or existing ideas and formulating it to make it sound good and everything else. But they're taking that from something, right? I mean, AI is based on data in a computer system. And I would like to think that, you know, you and I and people have a little bit more creativity than AI could. But who knows, like you say, in 5 years from now, the whole landscape changes once again, right? Look at, what was it? 20
Come, Lord Jesus.
20 years ago. What was it? 20 years ago when you had, who was that duo?
Milli Vanilli.
Milli Vanilli. They win a
Blame
Grammy.
It on the Rain.
And it sounded great, but it wasn't them, right? Same sort of idea.
They were ahead of their time.
they were, and they got in trouble for it. So what happens then if you've got AI creating a song, creating this fictional group? What happens when you want a tour? I mean, there is nobody. What are you going to have, a bunch of guys up there lip syncing?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I'm afraid of what it's gonna be, because all of this is, the level of intelligence is just, it's increasing. And you think about the Bible, right? It says they get wiser and more wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's nothing that hasn't been spoken of already, but to see it actually taking place before our eyes and in our generation and in our time, it's just wild.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, look at what they could do. If they had an image of me, they could create a video of me saying something with my voice, and it's not even me, but yet people would think it's me because, you know, everything that you would look for in the way I sound, the way I look and everything else is on there. And I mean, that's already happening now, right? And then you see these things go viral and stuff. So that part is scary. I think the other thing that it's going to do is I think it's going to make people in general lazy, right? Just get the computer to do it, right? We don't need to do it. We don't have to think. We don't have to use our brains. We don't have to be creative in writing something. We'll just get AI to do it.
Right, right.
And that's the sad part of it.
It is sad. There's a Disney movie. Oh gosh, what's it called? With the little robot. And it's basically AI taking over. And all of the humans are almost like they're on a cruise ship. Oh man. Oh,
yeah. What's the name of that? I know what you're talking about. It's
I can't remember.
WALL-E. That's it.
WALL-E. That's yeah. it.
Little robot on Earth cleaning yes. things up, and they're not going to return to Earth until they find life. And he right. finds this little plant or whatever growing. That's right. And he gets shipped off inadvertently almost to for his girlfriend, girlfriend robot. To this big massive cruise ship in space, and everybody's laying around lazy, getting fat, doing nothing.
Yes.
That's what's going to happen.
Technology has done everything for us.
So WALL-E is ahead of its time, right? When it comes to AI.
Yes.
That's exactly what it's going to be like. Anyways, lots to think about. And if you would like to weigh in, leave us a comment wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'd like to hear your thoughts as well. What do you think is going to happen? It'd be interesting to get some dialogue going on with this.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks for tuning in. Until next time on Between the Grooves, it's James and Aisha.
Thanks for listening to Faith Strong Today's Between the Grooves podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, would you consider sharing it with your friends, rating our podcast, or giving us some love on your socials to your amazing friends and followers will only help us reach more people. We'd also love to hear from you and share your feedback in an upcoming episode. Send your video or written message to Aisha and James on Facebook or X at Between Grooves and on Instagram at Between Grooves Pod. Or email us anytime, hello@faithstrongtoday.com.